This is Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show, with new episodes every week on how to live well. Shine On is heard all over the world as a podcast, but it's heard first on the radio in New York's Hudson Valley. Hi, it's Casey. Thank you for tuning in to Shine On. Today, I want to introduce you to Anna Gottman, an expert in transformative and holistic learning. She's written the book Shift Calling, a practical guide to accelerate your spiritual growth. What I love about Anna's work is its practicality. Her ideas encourage us to make the tiniest of changes. A 1 degree shift in any area of your life can head you off into a direction of new and positive change. Anna has a very interesting background. She began as a supermodel. She became a modern mystic. Born into an alcoholic family, Anna grew up with a severe stutter, undiagnosed learning challenges, and anorexic tendencies. Anna Gottman, PhD, has spent decades on her inner quest and spiritual growth, and she's very generous in sharing all of her ideas with us. But the thing about Anna Gottman that sounds most important right now is that she was born in Israel. And so we'll begin with her thoughts on the conflict between Israel and Palestine.
You know, I find it devastating. And I'll be honest, I find it devastating on both sides. There's a famous cartoon from The New Yorker where there's a soldier, an Israeli soldier, and he's asking the other one, are we attacking or retaliating? And we've lost count on who started the fight. I think that what Hamas did, in my perspective, it seems to me like an atomic bomb because it has rippled throughout the planet. Yeah. Everybody's affected by it. Everybody from seeing the news, wherever it meets each one of us, the demons inside of us, our anti-Semitism, the Holocaust story, the occupation, colonialism, whatever you bring in, I feel that the ghosts are fighting. People want to live at peace, and the ghosts, all of these big ghosts are fighting. And so I think that, you know, like most people, what Hamas did was horrendous, horrendous savagery. And I think that Israel's response is completely disproportionate. And I'm saddened to say that most Israelis I speak to, they want to eradicate Hamas and Gaza. And the word peace does not come on anybody's lips. And what is needed when there's such intensity is to take a step back and ask for peace. And that is not on the table even. So it saddens me, but I want people to know that people are suffering, ordinary people are suffering on both sides, and we're tested. Are we going to go to our lowest base human nature, or are we going to reach to our highest human nature?
We're talking to Dr. Anna Gottman. I think, Anna, what has happened too, there was a time when many people felt what was going on between Israel and Palestine was really none of our business. But the way the world has changed through social media and the internet, I do feel like more and more people are looking at global things and saying, this is my business. I do have to take
Completely.
A stand, right? I do have to, this matters to the future of the world, to the future of children everywhere. So I do feel that globally we may be waking up a little bit, but I also feel that the hatred on both sides is now like in the DNA, where if you're in this conflict personally, it's really hard to see anything but the conflict.
I know. And I think that, you know, it brings it back to, you know, just like the United States is going and saving the world, trying to save democracy, and we're at a place in the United States, back home here, where we're trying to save democracy. So what I think that the conflict in the Middle East brought out for the world to witness is that we each have, you know, there's Muslims and there's Jews living all over the world. And the question is, can we live in peace? It's not just happening there. Can we choose really our highest self, our loving self? Because just like we have hatred within us that can erupt in a second, you know, in a fight with a spouse or angry at our child or hurt by our parents or a colleague who puts us down. It's there on the surface. Can we also rise to our highest self and say, okay, when God wants us to learn a lesson, then first God whispers, right? Mm-hmm. You know, change and make a change. Pay attention to this here. There's a lesson to be learned here. And then if we don't listen, we get a louder and louder and louder message. And I feel that God, source, light, whatever you want to call that unfathomable force that creates and sustains and destroys our world, right, is saying, wake up with the ecological crisis and with what happened in Israel. You know, there's been a war in Ukraine for 18 months. For some reason, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict touches us very deeply to the core because of the atrocities, I think, the atrocities of the bombing and the atrocities of the Hamas attack. It's just so visceral that we feel, wow, this could happen to me as well. And so this is the time, it really is, it's a time. I love the name of your show, Shine On. And I feel that each one of us, we see ourselves often just as human beings, but we're spiritual beings as well. And as a spiritual being, we're each this generative light that can bring light into the world. And right. This is the time, you know, when you're fighting with your spouse or partner or colleague, it's easy to try to win like a ping pong, to win one more match, to have the upper hand for 2 seconds, and you feel good for 2 seconds, and then you feel bad again. And it's an example, but at a bigger scale, of what's happening in the Middle East. Yeah. And so I feel like what we need to focus is on shining on from within. We need to, and that's why my book, my latest book, is called Shift Calling. We each have a shift that's calling us. And the shift is to remember that we are spiritual beings on the edge of creation with this amazing experiment on planet Earth. Can we be born into separation and individuation and still remember our origin, which is light and love and goodness and peacefulness and delight and ingenuity, human ingenuity and human creativity, all of these beautiful spiritual qualities that we also have. And I feel that the world is at a test. Which are you going to pick? And each one of us has the choice to shine on our light or to dampen that light and fall into the lowest part that I have, that you have, that we all have, take sides in the conflict, hate the other side, and then we're contributing to this human ocean of consciousness. We're contributing hatred. It's time to shine on and contribute love.
You say there's one question everyone should ask themselves every day. What is that question?
You know, for me, I thought, okay, with what's going on in Israel, and I thought of it a while ago, it's like, what is, I like simplicity, and I like practicality. And the Israeli-Palestinian conflict is so complex, layered, layered, layered. But so what's the simplest question? At the highest, highest level, for me, the question is, am I losing my humanity by what I'm thinking and what I'm doing, or am I keeping it and amplifying it? And that's a question that everyone needs to ask themselves today. Am I losing? I mean, even in the U.S., with what's going on, the elections, the fight between Democrats and Republicans, I mean, we're entering a year of election. I think it's going to get uglier. And this is question, you know, the mantra is, the question is, with this thought that I have towards the other group, the other person, the other party, the people on the other side of the planet, am I keeping and amplifying my humanity, or am I losing it with the choices I'm making, the thoughts I'm having, the actions I'm taking?
Right. That is
an amazing, really important compass to have. It will guide you and leave behind the details of who started, who's retaliating, who's attacking, who started, and who's ending.
Right. Help us shift from anxious and depleted to peaceful and energized. What is your recommendation for that?
Okay, so here it is. When we shift our perspective and see ourselves as spiritual beings, first and foremost, having an earthly experience, we connect to a more expansive, vast sense of ourselves. And you know it, your audiences know it, when we feel spaciousness, when we feel peacefulness, when we feel tranquility, love, or we're engaged in a creative project, we feel expansive. We feel that we are, our life has a purpose. We feel that we're part of something, that we're part of humanity. We're part of this Garden of Eden, which is our planet. And when we feel that, when we're in this expansive state of spaciousness, we cannot feel anxious at the same time. Because part of the anxiety that is happening in the world right now is because we are seeing ourselves just as human beings. And I think we've taken it as far as we can, just as human beings. And that's why I feel that what we need the most now is a spiritual evolution or a spiritual revolution. So when you just see yourself as human and you just see yourself as the result of your circumstances, you know, I grew up with a raging father, an alcoholic mother. My mother was Christian. My father was Jewish. I was ashamed of saying that I'm officially not Jewish until I converted at age 30. I mean, I grew up with undiagnosed learning challenges, a severe stutter, which you might be able to still hear, but maybe not anymore. So if I just go by those circumstances, I'm doomed for the rest of my life. But if I see myself as a spiritual being walking on sacred ground on this Garden of Eden, my perspective is different. And so when I think and I see myself as an unworthy, you know, I'll say even the really harsh word, self-loathing, because I've experienced it throughout my life many times, then I feel anxious. When I watch the news and I see what's going on, I feel anxiety. There is no hope. In a sense, there is no hope. It's just one disaster after another in the news. Every week I go, okay, well, like, what's going to be next? Is it an earthquake? Is it a flood? Is it a war? Is it fires? What is it?
So if I see myself as a spiritual person, how do I interpret the floods and the disasters and the wars? How is it different?
Look, the climate change that is going on is due to the circumstances of how we got here and actions that we have taken. So I'm not going to solve it now. All of the actions, an expert on climate change is the one to answer how we stop that. But what I can say is that just like if you're in a family situation that's really harmful for you or really bad, you don't want to stay in it and continue perpetuating and participating in it. You want to stand straight and go into yourself and shine on your light, and from that place make choices of what to do. So everything that's happening in the world now is a huge alarm that we need to shift. We need to shift in our personal lives, and we need to shift collectively. So it's not about, I don't have the power to change the fires in California. I have a choice of how to respond to it. And 1 degree shift can change your world, my world, our world. So all we need to do is make a shift in our life that's different. And that is to see ourselves as generative lights on the planet. You know, like these poles, you know, the images when you see the whole planet in the graphic and there's all these lights, and there's like points of light and connections. Each one of us, you, me, your listeners, we're each this point of light within this ocean of humanity. So never think that your actions are too small, because 1 degree shift, if you are a steady light, your choices are going to be different. Your decisions are going to be different. Your perspective on what's happening in the world will be different. Instead of being fearful when there's a fire, maybe you'll connect to compassion instead. Maybe you'll calm yourself when there's a flood instead of get into panic that it's going to happen to you too. It's like panic and anxiety doesn't help us, but when we see ourselves just as human beings, and we see the circumstances in the world as getting closer and closer and closer, of course we panic. Of course we have anxiety.
Okay, so.
But if you start.
Okay, yes. So we have a lot of experience seeing ourselves as human. Give us some practical things that'll help us tune in more to our spiritual side so we can have this different perspective.
With pleasure. So I'll give you two areas where people can draw their attention to, okay? One is nature, okay? Nature is already in this spiritual material unity. It resides there because when you sit under an old tree, you see its beauty and you experience beauty. So you connect to the quality of beauty by sitting under a tree. Or you connect to its grandeur, or you connect to the patience, and you think, wow, it's taken so hundreds of years for this tree to grow. There's such patience in the tree, and you are reminded of the quality of patience that you have in your life. So nature is a great healer and a great teacher for us to connect to our spiritual self. And I'll tell you, if you have a park that you can go to, or you can go for a hike in the mountains, great, go do that. It's expansive, and it will connect you to the higher qualities of you being a human being, to your spiritual nature. But if you don't have access to it, we have technology today. Just Google anything like the redwoods of Northern California and find a beautiful picture of redwoods. I just did it 2 weeks ago to a friend of mine who's working with survivors of the Hamas attack. And I sent her a photo of the redwoods, and it had a person who was really tiny in the picture, and the redwoods are majestic, gigantic. And I said, just go into the picture. Just go into the picture in your imagination and close your eyes and walk amongst the trees, and they will heal you and they will calm you. So all you need to do around nature is Google your favorite area in the world, your favorite nature, if it's water, if it's a calm lake, if it's expansive vistas. And just with your eyes open, breathe the picture in and breathe the picture in. And you, within a few minutes, you will go from feeling anxious to feeling spacious or joyous. So that's nature. And that's one way. Can I give you another example?
Sure.
That is as you go around your day. So we have this idea that the material world is kind of dead. And one of the things that I discovered is the principle of spiritual material wholeness. And that everything is alive because everything is energy, and energy that is intelligent. So everything is consciousness. So, for example, you have objects in your home or in your office which you picked and chose at different times in your life. There is an emotion embedded in the object in your house. So, for example, if you have a portrait of an aunt that was dear for you, that was dear to you, and you have it there on the table or on a shelf, and it's there, you might not look at it anymore, but you put it there for a reason. You put it there because your aunt reminds you of maybe of love and care. She was so dear to you. She was really like your container. She held you. She loved you. She cooked for you. Whatever it is, she was your guide in your life as a child. Or she allowed you to stay childlike and joyous. And so go to that picture and look at your aunt or whoever it is and remember the connection that you have to her. And stand there for a minute or two, it doesn't take long, and remind yourself of that connection. And suddenly just a picture on a shelf has a lot of deep meaning, connection, love, inspiration, whatever it is. It can be, you know, it can be a coffee mug that you got from someone that's dear to you. Take a moment to hold that coffee cup and don't just see it as a material coffee cup, but see it as a bond between you and the person that gave it to you, and your heart will be filled with this connection, whatever that connection stands for you. And your house is filled like this. The pillow that you bought, the chair that you got, the clothes that you buy, all of them, we always look at them as just material things, but if you look at the hidden world that they hold, the emotional connection that we have to them, suddenly your material world, wherever you are, can be a gateway to the spiritual you, because suddenly you're connecting to love, to beauty, to calmness, to creativity, whatever qualities you brought into the material world that you created around you. Does that make sense?
Beautiful. All right, we have just 1 minute left. What else would you like our listeners to know?
Well, I'll go back to, I'd love to share where people can hear more about this, but I want to first say, because I just love the name of your show, what I want people to know, stop for a moment to look at the news, just stop to look at the media, and just go inside and remember to shine on. Remember that you are a generative source of light and love on this planet. And walk in the world from that place and ask yourself, am I keeping my spiritual self and my humanity today with everything I'm doing, or am I losing it by taking sides or opinions or watching the news? That would be the thing to remember to shine on in whatever you're doing.
That's Anna Gattelman. She spent 10 years on the runways in Paris as a supermodel for Yves Saint Laurent and Jean-Paul Gaultier. She lives in California now. Her book is called Shift Calling, A Practical Guide to Accelerate Your Spiritual Growth. Check out her TEDx talk. You can eat your cake and have enlightenment too. And you can join Anna and other like-minded spirits at shiftcalling.com. I love her thoughts about making small changes. I've recently made a few myself. One change is, I think I am 9 days into my Noom fitness app. Is it fitness? Is it diet? I'm logging my meals and my movement and my water intake. I even logged that I had 2 pieces of apple pie for dinner last night. It's a small shift, but at least I'm confessing regularly now. And the other small shift I've made is daily meditation. I always do some form of mini meditation, but something magical happened when we moved all the furniture around in my tiny house to fit the family in for Thanksgiving cheeseburgers. They don't eat turkey. I ended up with a dining room chair in the second bedroom. Not on purpose. It just got moved in there for, I don't know, space. So the other day I went to move the dining room chair out of the spare bedroom, and something said to me, sit down on this chair in the spare bedroom, surrounded by all the plants you own, because this is the only place good sun comes in during winter. And I sat there, and to make myself continue to sit there, I shouted, Alexa, set the timer for 15 minutes. And I'm sorry if I just set your timer for 15 minutes. And it felt like only a few deep breaths had passed when that timer went off. And I asked Alexa to add a few minutes a couple of times. Man, that felt good. So now I find myself sitting in that stray dining room chair that is staying in the second bedroom, surrounded by all the plants, and I'm asking Alexa to set the timer for 25 minutes. Just a small shift, but it has made my world a little more peaceful. Coming up on December 19th, Heavenly Peace is the name of the evening that I am putting together with Tibetan bowl sound healer Michelle Clifton. This is an evening taking place in Verplank. Everyone is welcome. Get tickets at caseysplace.com. We'll have time for tea and intention writing at 6 o'clock, and then the sound healing begins at 7. Yes, it's right in the middle of the busy holiday season, right when you need a little peace. caseysplace.com has more. Alrighty, our thought for the day is from Oprah Winfrey, who said, the greatest discovery of all time is that a person can change his future by merely changing his attitude. Shana. You've been listening to Shine On, the Health and Happiness Show, with new episodes every week. It's your time to shine on.